News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Micheál, thanks indeed for coming into us. Let's start with the confidence and supply review process. Now, look, I know you're, what you're going to say in advance, and we don't expect chapter and verse on the talks. But in your view, will we have a confidence and supply agreement part two?
Well, that will depend on the review and the quality and nature of the review. And we have had some fairly exhaustive discussions so far on health. Still a bit more to go there. And there have been some discussions on housing. And obviously, there will be discussions on the broadband issue and a range of other issues. And in the meantime, however, I have written to the Taoiseach, as you know, and I've indicated to him that both parties should commit to not bringing down the government once the Brexit situation
is
unfolding.
Did he ever respond on that?
He hasn't actually formally, which is interesting. Because many people out there in the public were quite pleased with that approach by myself, in the sense that people felt to give stability and space whilst the confidence and supply talks are ongoing. We know the volatility in the British governmental system and the parliamentary system. We know whatever happens this side of Christmas, if a deal is struck, and I believe a deal will be struck, it has to go through the Westminster Parliament and the European Parliament. And from my perspective, it seemed to make sense that we should allow space to allow all of that happen, and that Ireland would have a government in place in a position to respond quickly to any unfolding situations.
Okay.
The worst case scenario would be if a deal was struck before Christmas and the British Parliament didn't approve of it, we would be in a no-deal situation,
okay,
which would be Armageddon, in my view. It would be very difficult for everybody, and it would need all hands on deck. And that's why I wrote the letter.
No response.
Informally,
did he respond? Like when you spoken to him, has he said, I basically agree with that, or has he made any
comment? Made a public response, which seemed to me to be quite silly, to be frank, that somehow we were giving the British Parliament a role in deciding whether the Irish government would stay or fall, which I still can't understand. It makes no sense. That's not obviously the case. Meanwhile, we are progressing with the finance bill, and we'll cooperate in that, and the social protection bill, to ensure that people get their entitlements.
But just to clarify, he hasn't given
no,
you
he hasn't
formally
responded to that.
Look, he has said he wants a two, or certainly signals.
But, just to come back to your question, I mean, from our perspective, we're a party that has honoured the agreement. We have facilitated three budgets. In terms of the confidence and supply, elements of that, of course, have been included in those three budgets, like career guidance, teachers being restored, pupil-teacher ratio reduced, and the treatment purchase fund being restored for the purposes of getting down waiting times and waiting lists. We would have preferred a quicker response to that. And I think if there had been a quicker response on day one, in the first year of the confidence supplies, the list may not be as high as they are now. But nonetheless, progress has been made on the inpatient side, not on the outpatient side.
Do you expect her to be, do you expect this deal to be extended?
Well, I think the talks are going constructively and professionally
so
at the moment.
So far, so good.
And I think, if you stand back from a chain, the aura of instability around all of this has been created by the Taoiseach himself, starting about last April, when he started sort of making demands of Fianna Fáil. And we repeatedly now are saying to Fine Gael, look, you have 27 ministers in government. You don't have a divine right to that forever and ever. You have to look at things from the perspective of Fianna Fáil and other parties and the broader public, who are not happy with the lack of progress in key areas. And we need to understand why that is the case. What are the roadblocks, for example, to getting more houses built? Why, for example, do local authorities have to get sanction for fairly modest housing schemes from central government and wait 9 months to get that sanction?
Sure.
If a local authority, for example, trying to refurbish an empty house, anything over 30,000 cost has to go to the department for sanction.
Okay.
That kind of stuff is frustrating and illustrates that the ministers are not on top of their job.
You're not biting, though, on the question as to whether or not you expect the deal to be renewed.
Well, I'm not preempting the outcome of the talks.
Fair enough.
Let
me ask you a different question then. Leo Varadkar quite clearly wants a two-year renewal to 2020. Is it fair to say you do not want to be locked in so rigidly as that?
Look, I criticised the Taoiseach yesterday for engaging in megaphone diplomacy, and I criticised the British government as well on the question of Brexit.
Do it here.
I don't believe in megaphone diplomacy if you're in negotiations.
Fair enough.
I think I respect the process.
Okay.
But there are issues there, and there's no point in saying there aren't issues. The Taoiseach's letter to me originally was of a nature that suggested everything is fine, please sign the dotted line and just continue on facilitating confidence and supply.
You weren't going to do
it's
that.
It's not that simple.
Yeah. Let me ask you, okay, and look, you're not giving much away in the talks and that's fine and that's understandable. Let me ask you a slightly different question in relation to it. The last time you were on the show, you were quite critical of the Taoiseach and how he does his business. And I think it's fair to say there's a feeling in Fianna Fáil that Leo Varadkar is too quick by half to tweet when it comes to the business going on between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Let me ask you this question. Are you happy with how Fine Gael have conducted the process of this potential renewal of the confidence supply agreement to date?
Well, the talks themselves are constructive. Outside of the talks, every now and again, Fine Gael start throwing barbs or start saying things like, you know, you better hurry up and we need setting deadlines that keep passing. And that's unhelpful. But I would have to say that the talks themselves, just as the budget talks between Pascal Donohue and Michael McGrath, were professional and they got results. And I think Fine Gael need to trust the process more. And the idea that you have a parallel operation where you're constructive and engaging in the talks process and outside you're throwing shapes, it's a new form of politics, but it's not one that endears it to me anyway.
Okay, just for people listening this morning, should they be optimistic that an election can be avoided until at the very least well into 2019?
Well, certainly I don't see a basis for a general election, as I say, certainly whilst the uncertainty and of the Brexit situation continues and while Brexit unfolds. Given what's happening, it's very clear that there's some distance to go yet in terms of the Brexit issue.
Okay.
I want to ask you about Brexit. I've deliberately given space to the government to conduct negotiations on the nation's behalf in relation to Brexit. I think most people looking in at Ireland do actually, I think it reflects well on our on the maturity of our political system that we have common cause on the broad objectives.
Okay, certainly, but on the election, certainly Fianna Fáil don't want to bring one about. Is that a fair comment?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
That's a fair comment.
Okay, let's talk about Brexit. I don't want to get too bogged down because we could talk for 10 minutes on it, but I do want to ask you specifically, was the Taoiseach right to concede on the possibility of a review process on the backdrop? Is that how you would have done it?
Well, I would have refrained from any megaphone diplomacy on it. I find it strange that every second day now, both the Prime Minister, Dominic Raab, Simon Coveney and the Taoiseach are commenting publicly as the negotiations play out. My understanding was last week, at the beginning of last week, everybody was to keep quiet, keep the mouths shut and get engaged in what they call the tunnel and let's work it out. But that hasn't happened. I think there's a need for that to happen. There comes a stage in negotiations when you have to knuckle down and get a resolution. I think the Taoiseach seemed unsteady last week on it. He at one level, you know, in the Dáil, I was watching his behaviour because I didn't, I've decided to give him space on this in terms of the negotiations. But he was unsteady in the context of the review and agreeing to a review, whilst at the same time talking about creative solutions and so on.
Did he weaken Ireland's negotiating hand?
I think if you go into the talks with your bottom line position.
Did he weaken Ireland's negotiating hand?
Don't know yet. He may have. Okay. I think it's too early. It's an unfolding situation. What I would say is this, that we're negotiating on the withdrawal agreement, but it's not the full agreement. And I think there's been less of a focus on that, which is actually ultimately the issue that will decide how damaged Ireland will be and others from Brexit. What I mean by that is, what will the nature of the full trading agreement be between the United Kingdom and the European Union when this is all over?
That's the key.
3 years' time. That will determine how much beef we export to the British market. That will determine how much milk, cheese, cheddar we export to the British market in 2022 and 2023 and 2024. And I think there's a lack of preparedness for all of that. Because I met the European Commissioner last 2 weeks ago. I'm meeting with the Aldi Group this week in Madrid. We have 8 prime ministers. The talk is about a Canada-style trade deal between the United Kingdom and Europe when this is over. That will be the kind of nature of the full agreement.
Yeah.
That isn't good for Ireland. It's better than a no deal, obviously.
But it's
not the Norwegian agreement. It's not an EEA agreement. It's a Canada plus plus. And I think there's been precious little focus on that.
On the big picture.
The Taoiseach made a point yesterday that if there's to be a review of the backstop, And unless and until, you know, that the backstop stays, unless and until, is it a better agreement? No, the only better agreement that can come over the backstop is Britain staying in the customs union and in the single market.
Which is unlikely to happen, I think.
Yes, that's the point. So I worry a lot about that side of it because of its impact on the Irish economy and the
clock issues. Is against us. I do want to ask you two quick questions. I suspect one of them might be quite a quick answer to it. Let me put this question to you. Yesterday you announced you were taking action against Mark Daly, sacking him in his role as deputy leader in the Shannon. But he wasn't acting alone. Of course, Eamon O'Queeve was there. He also participated in that launch of the Fianna Fáil candidate in the North against your wishes. Will you be taking disciplinary action against Eamon O'Queeve?
Well, in terms of Mark Daly, I mean, the evidence so far is that Mark was orchestrated that.
There was two of them in the picture, though, alongside
there was, and that will be dealt with as well. But I think the reason I think Mark, and I spoke to Mark in some detail on this, and he hasn't denied this, and I just don't understand why. Because we are in talks with the SDLP. I think that is well known.
Oh, it's definitely I think everyone who looks at it would say it was preemptive. Is Eamon O'Queeve's position tenable on the front bench, given
that will be further deliberated on today.
Okay. Can we expect some news on that?
No, today? That's all I have to say on that at this stage.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's just briefly talk, talk about the health service. You obviously have a lot of experience. You were a former Minister for Health for quite a period of time. You're aware of what the Taoiseach said in recent days about the hospital sector during Christmas. I have to say, I'm confused because I'm not an expert on... I've never been in hospital, touch wood, at Christmas, so I don't actually know. Is the Taoiseach right? Because we've had people saying he's wrong. We've had other people saying he's right. Is the Taoiseach right what he said? That the hospital sector effectively goes into weekend slowdown for the 12 days.
It was an outrageous, cynical ploy by the Taoiseach to attack nurses and consultants around the Christmas break. I raised the question, I actually put the question to him. What did I say to him? The health service and the department of HSE had produced a plan, an analysis of what went wrong last year. We had a horrendous winter last year. And their main conclusion was, if you're doing winter planning, you should have your plan ready by the end of July. Mm. So I said to the Taoiseach, where is your plan for 2018 and 2019 winter period? And he went off in a tirade against nurses and doctors. Instead of answering the question...
He's deflecting in your
view. He was deflecting, but also trying to blame somebody else for his own failings and the failings of his government and not having a plan. But and the plan, why do you need to plan by the end of July, Shane? Because you need to recruit people for the winter period. And you also need to have beds in place for the winter period. And you can't. And what the plan, what the analysis actually said was, no point in pumping money in November, December, it's too late, is what it said. You've got to start planning by July. The government had no plan for 2018, 2019. They're now saying they're going to announce it this week. So as a deploy, maybe from the Brexit issue as well, he came under a bit of heat on that. Maybe he was trying to just... And he tends to do that. It's a bit like the Trump politics. You know, let's put up the
You're
straw
not
man.
And Donald Trump,
no, but there's an element of that in this approach to... And like he picks 10 days at Christmas. We're not talking about 10 days of Christmas. We're not talking about a crisis on Christmas Day or New Year's Day. This is a winter crisis that now begins early in October, November, goes right through to January and February.
Fair point.
And I just have to add, this is very important.
Okay.
Look at what Peter Kelly, the High Court judge, said yesterday. He said that the health service are employing and recruiting doctors who have little detailed knowledge of medicine. I pointed this out to the Taoiseach 2 weeks ago. We have 500 vacancies in terms of consultants. We have people who are not specialists in specialist positions. We have doctors who are not qualified in key positions in our hospitals. That's going to the very heart of the crisis in emergency departments.
Okay.
And it's because of something that Minister James Reilly did in arbitrarily cutting consultants' pay in 2012 over and above what had been cut already, which has meant a pay differential there that means it's extraordinarily difficult now to recruit consultants into our health service.
Okay.
Those are the issues.
Okay.
Not just attacking nurses and saying, turn up on Christmas Day. By the way, they do turn up on Christmas Day.
Yes.
Who the hell keeps the hospitals going during the Christmas period? Only nurses and
last
doctors and allied healthcare staff.
Last question on this, Micheál. Is Simon Harris a frightened little boy and a weak Minister for Health, as Tony O'Brien stated at the weekend, running scared of headlines?
I don't use personal language like that. But what I would say about Minister Harris is he doesn't follow through on issues. So, for example, I raised medicinal cannabis yesterday. It's nearly close to 2 years since Simon Harris assured me and others who were being constructive with him that we would have a compassionate access programme for medicinal cannabis. It hasn't happened. A lack of project management, of getting on top of it and saying, I want this to happen. And it hasn't. That is what annoys me. We have the issue with the Respreeza drug, for example. People with an alpha-1 deficiency. You may recall that controversy. Mm. I had a meeting with Simon Harris and John Brazel, TD, and some important families. I mean, two women died as a result of that drug being taken back from patients. They now are back on it. And it's now 8 or 9 months on. And we were promised a resolution to that back in July. No follow through. That, to me, is the critical point. And on cervical check, I think they did panic at the time. And I think they did come up with responses.
Run scared of headlines.
They run scared of headlines. Of course they do.